I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Thursday, July 18th. A Quincy man has pleaded guilty to taking part in a sophisticated international money laundering and drug trafficking organization. 41-year-old Li Shen Huang pleaded guilty to charges in U.S. District Court this week. Prosecutors say Huang was among 12 people from four states charged with laundering money for a fee for drug dealers. Huang worked with undercover agents to bust the ring. Investigators say Huang converted up to $25 million in drug proceeds and other illegal operations into cryptocurrency and then transmitted the funds to China, India, Cambodia, Brazil, and other locations. Huang faces up to 20 years in prison and a fine of up to $500,000. Sentencing is set for October. Well, preparations are well underway in Quincy for the upcoming election. Quincy City Clerk Nicole Crispo reminds voters that the state primary is on September 3rd, the day after Labor Day, and the general election is on November 5th. There will be both mail-in voting and early voting for both elections. For the primary, Crispo says requests for mail-in ballots should be made soon. Early voting for the September 3rd primary will take place August 24th through the 30th at Quincy City Hall. August 24th is also the last day to register to vote in the September 3rd primary. And there will be a change to early voting here in Quincy for the November 5th general election. City Clerk Nicole Crispo says the first weekend of early voting for the November election will take place at Central Middle School instead of North Quincy High School. The weekday and the second weekend of early voting for the November election will be held at City Hall. Also new this year at the Southwest Middle School, voters will be allowed to park in the back parking lot and vote in the gym. Quincy Girl Scouts were recently honored by the Quincy City Council for their award-winning projects. During the last City Council meeting before summer break, 15 Girl Scouts received City Council commendations for winning gold, silver, and bronze medals for projects including creating a community garden, highlighting bicycle safety, stressing the importance of car safety seats, and emphasizing textile recycling. The Girl Scouts were praised by Council President Ian Kane as they posed for pictures in the City Council well at City Hall on June 17th. I'll learn all about the historic Southern Tide Mill in Quincy during a free presentation tonight at the Thomas Crane Public Library in Quincy Center. The Quincy Department of Natural Resources Environmental Treasures Program and the Friends of the Southern Tide Mill present Exploring the Southern Tide Mill and the Quincy Canal tonight at 7 at the Library in Quincy Center. Quincy's Director of Historic and Heritage Resources, Bob Damon, and David Robinson, Director of the Massachusetts Bureau of Underwater Archaeological Resources, will present the 90-minute program on the history of the 1854 Tide Mill and efforts to document and care for vulnerable historic coastal resources. And walking tours of the Tide Mill site will be given Friday and Saturday at 9 a.m. The situation for migrants seeking a roof over their head seems to be entering a new dire phase in Massachusetts. With shelters at capacity and Logan Airport now off limits as a place to sleep at night, some migrants and their families are ending up on the street. Those staying at the Family Welcome Center Day Shelter at Eastern Nazarene College in Quincy say once the building closes at 5 p.m. every day, they're given the option to take a shuttle to the nearest MBTA station in Wollaston. Last week, the governor prohibited migrants from spending the night at Logan Airport. When migrants leave the day shelters, the governor's office says migrants are being offered alternative services, including a paid trip elsewhere in the county if they wish to do so. Migrants said once they crossed the border to Texas, they were told by either somebody at a shelter there or by word of mouth that Massachusetts would provide shelter and jobs. The Healey administration has been trying to counter that message for months. Massachusetts Public Health Commissioner Robbie Goldstein said yesterday that officials are in the dark for now on how the critical bidding process worked out for Steward Health Care's hospitals in Massachusetts. The bids were due Monday as part of Steward's complex bankruptcy proceedings. Goldstein told the Public Health Council yesterday that he had no information on the bids submitted and expressed hope that updates would come soon. Steward took bids on its seven hospitals operating in Massachusetts. Norwood Hospital, which is temporarily closed, was not included in the sale process. Steward is required to provide a proposed transition plan if a hospital doesn't receive a qualified bid. Attorney General Andrea Campbell's office said in a court filing, the office also noted that state health care regulations require hospitals to transition or close their facilities in a safe manner and in accordance with specified timeframes. An auction is set for today for hospitals that received multiple bids, although Goldstein said that timeline could be pushed back as Steward looks to solicit more interest from prospective buyers. After the auction, Steward has a sale hearing scheduled in U.S. Bankruptcy Court on July 31st. In an ongoing trend, the number of patients seeking care at many Steward hospitals is declining. Non-Steward hospitals, including South Shore, have recorded an increase in emergency department visits and inpatient admissions. DPH monitors remain deployed at Steward hospitals to ensure safety for patients and healthcare providers. Health officials are also bracing for worker shortages at Steward hospitals. Goldstein said Steward has been able to manage the situation in most cases. Massachusetts would gain tools to stem the spread of untraceable ghost guns, and firearms would be banned in additional public spaces under a compromise bill that could land on the governor's desk as soon as today. House and Senate Democrats reached an agreement yesterday on a massive update to the state's gun laws, concluding private talks that began back in March and putting in the rearview mirror cross-branch bickering that previously disrupted action on that topic. The pending new bill reaches across a range of topics, including ghost guns, firearm licensing, dealer inspections, protected areas, and the state's so-called red flag law, and more. Hoping to slow the proliferation of ghost guns, the legislation would require all firearms, including individual frames and receivers, to be stamped with a serial number. It would also craft new penalties for possession, creation, and transfer of untraceable firearms. The bill would expand the list of areas where state law forbids people from carrying firearms to include schools, polling places, and government buildings. Current and retired law enforcement professionals would be exempt, and cities and towns could also choose to allow firearms in their municipal buildings. Courts would gain the ability to order removal of firearms, licenses, and permits when they issue a harassment prevention order to prevent abuse. The bill would also expand the red flag law. The existing law allows family members and law enforcement to petition a court to temporarily take firearms away from someone deemed a threat to themselves or others. The bill would extend that petitioning power to school administrators and licensed healthcare providers. On Nantucket's South Shore beaches reopened for swimming and recreational activities yesterday, a day after officials closed the beaches due to a damaged offshore wind turbine. The turbine is operated by Vineyard Wind and was damaged in an incident last Saturday. The damaged turbine sits about 21 miles south of Nantucket. In an updated statement yesterday, a spokesperson described the weekend incident as a blade failure and said authorities were investigating whether other turbines were impacted by the issue that caused that failure. While regulators wait for answers, the Bureau said operations at Vineyard Wind will be suspended. Vineyard Wind, in a statement, said it mobilized debris recovery teams and worked with the U.S. Coast Guard to maintain a safety zone around the wind turbine. Officials urged beachgoers to still wear appropriate footwear while walking along beaches and asked people to leave their pets at home to ensure safety. The Bureau of Safety and Environment Enforcement In its latest statement, said the order to suspend Vineyard Wind's operations also suspends the installation of new wind turbine generators. In addition to the order, the Bureau said it issued an order to safeguard any evidence that may be relevant to determining the cause of the incidents. Check of business news. This morning, stocks are mixed. The Dow is up 243 points. The NASDAQ dropped 512. The S&P lost 78. Asian stocks are mostly lower. The dollar rose. The euro is down. Oil at $83 a barrel. Forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, clouds breaking to partial sunshine, becoming less humid. Still warm, a high of 88 degrees. For tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 72. Tomorrow, mainly sunny, a drier, high of 86. Sunny and warm on Saturday, high of 88. Partly cloudy, more humid on Sunday with a high 90. For the boater today, waves about a foot. Southwest winds at 5 knots. High tide, 9:40 a.m. Sunrise, 5:23, sets at 8:15. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News Update for Thursday, July 18th.